Choir, thank you.
Second scripture lesson is the Epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Listen for God's word to you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your siblings in all of the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive you today. We pray that you would fill us with your breath. Give us pause. Let us listen. Amen. When we're kids, we learn that a verb is a doing word. It is an action word. Early on, we learn the difference between a verb and a noun, and we parse out sentences. Eliza ran to the store. We learn that Eliza and store are nouns, and the verb is ran. What did Eliza do? She ran. I don't know what grade I was in when I learned that, or what grade I was in when the lessons got more complicated, when they added in things, not just nouns and verbs, but now I needed to know what the direct object and the prepositions were, words that English majors like me, they will forever just be in my head. And then we threw in some adverbs for fun. So now Eliza didn't just run to the store, Eliza ran quickly to the store. Or we tried to make the sentence even more complicated. Beautiful Eliza ran quickly to the decrepit store. Mark Twain said once, if you catch an adjective, kill it. That's what's nice about a verb. It's simple. It's just what you do. It's an action. I ran, I walked, I swam, I am. Remember that being is a verb too. Think about that the next time you read in Exodus when God tells Moses that God's name is I am. God's name is a verb. And names mean everything in the Bible, so that means God must be doing things. Doing things is what most of us wish we could be doing more of right now. Many of us are coming up with our own list of verbs that we want to do once the restrictions are lifted. Some of us will get long-awaited haircuts. Some of you will shave off the beards you've been growing. I've seen you in Zoom meetings. And I have to say, I'm impressed. Maybe the first thing on your list is simply to go to the nursing home and talk to mom on the same side of the window. Or go anywhere, for that matter, besides from one room in your house to the other. I want to go sit in a restaurant again. I am craving diner. I think we find hope in the post-quarantine list of verbs we want to do, because if we cling to the things that we will do, it helps us move past and not feel like we're grieving as much the things we can't currently do. Memorial Day is canceled, basically. The day isn't, but the parades certainly aren't happening. Graduation parties have looked very different. I'm still looking forward to the church picnic we will hopefully have in September. We can't have the spring yard sale, but hopefully David and I can still join my family in Disney World in October. Look forward to things in life ahead. It's like finding that light at the end of the tunnel, like forgetting that we're in this tunnel until we stop and think for longer than 2 minutes. and realize we're still in the tunnel. So am I. So are you. So now what? What do we do when we can't do what we want? What do we do when we choose not to do what we want because we know that doing what we want could very potentially cause harm for someone else? I don't want to wear a mask when I go to the store, but I will because I love my neighbor as I love myself. I want to go see my parents for Memorial Day, but I won't because I love them and don't want to put my family at risk. I will continue to remind us that the church never actually closed, so when we're told we have to reopen, we've been open. We have been worshiping. You have been with us. But it's a reminder that we're still in the tunnel. So now what? What verbs should we use? Our reading this morning gives us a list of verbs. The message that I heard in 1 Peter this week was less about a call to action, less about putting things on our to-do list, and more about a list of verbs that we can think about while we're already here. We're already in this holding pattern for the soul. And 1 Peter gives us this list of things to do that is soul work. Our soul is our life force. It is the holy within us. And it may be that we find ways of making things we're already doing into soul work. It may also be that we realize the things that we thought were giving our souls life aren't actually giving us as much life as we think. They become soul breakers. But it takes space and time to figure that out. 1 Peter sounds in my ears and to my heart at least like encouragement to find space to practice our soul work, to do these nourishing verbs, to do the things that help us feel better even when we don't feel at our best. Here's the list of verbs you can do in a holding pattern, this soul work, a list of verbs to help you work on this relationship with God. Humble yourself, cast, discipline. Keep alert, all good verbs. My go-to verse, the one that a friend even painted for me on a canvas, is this one here in 1 Peter, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on God, because God cares for you. 1 Peter has a list of verbs that God will do too. There are us verbs, human verbs, and there are God verbs. God will restore, support, strengthen, and establish. We have our verbs and God has God verbs, but here's the thing to remember. 1 Peter's call to soul work isn't so that God will restore us, isn't so that God will strengthen us. 1 Peter is a call to soul work so that we will be open to seeing what God is already doing. God is a verb. I am. Jesus isn't just the light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus is the light with us through the whole tunnel. And even when we're in the dark, we know that Jesus is with us. Keeping in mind the Jesus verbs that Jesus does and that we don't do for ourselves, we check out some of our verbs. Humble yourself, 1 Peter says. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Proverbs 11:2 reminds us, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but wisdom is with the humble. The word humble comes from the Latin word for ground. Think back to the story of creation when God created human beings out of the ground. Humbling ourselves reminds us we are out of the ground together. We are the created, not the creator. We are all the seedlings of God's garden, this amazing divine gardener, us and all of creation together. And so we take care of each other and find ways to love and protect each other. Cast your anxiety on Jesus, often easier said than done. Casting is throwing something in a specified direction. Imagine yourself throwing your anxiety at Jesus, who is this amazing divine catcher. The cross is Jesus' net to catch our mess, because that's what Jesus' love looks like. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Do these things, practice these verbs, so that our eyes are opened to the ways that God is already doing amazing things in our midst, to the ways that God restores, supports, strengthens, and establishes us. What snags us, I think, is verse 10. I'll be honest, I like the verbs of the first 9 verses, those doing words, that list of things that we can do, that we can work on. I don't like to be idle. Productivity feels like a good thing. Verse 10 is jarring because it says after you have suffered for a little while, as in we're in the tunnel and we can't bypass it. If you drive on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and want to stay on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you can't bypass the 4 tunnels. I can't stay on the Turnpike without going through Tuscarora. You have to go through the tunnel. In the Bible, suffering is basically a tunnel of waiting. It's patience through the tunnel. And there are places in the tunnel where your cell phone signal is cut off, your GPS signal goes out, and there is no radio signal in the heart of Kittatinny. But if you check out the list of fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, some translations use the word patience and long-suffering interchangeably. Waiting is a part of the journey. After we have waited a little while, 1 Peter reads, God will restore and support, strengthen, and establish you. God is in this business of restoring and supporting, strengthening, and establishing. Check out Exodus. Check out the prophets who not only warned that things would get messy, but that God would be with the people as they cleaned up the mess. Our hope is in this unseen darkness of the tunnel, knowing that Jesus is not just the light at the end of the tunnel, but with us the whole way through, and doesn't leave us when we get to the other side. Author Sue Monk Kidd gives me some language for this. I've been working through her book, When the Heart Waits, and she talks about her kind of midlife crisis, her midlife period of waiting, and how waiting can be this holy space for grace. She writes about how we collaborate with grace, writing, that doesn't mean grace isn't a gift, nor does it mean that the deliberate process of waiting produces grace, but waiting does provide time and space necessary for grace to happen. She goes on, spirit needs a container to pour itself into. Grace needs an arena in which to incarnate. Waiting can be such a place, if we allow it. In our waiting, we can find space to be a container for the Spirit to pour itself into. The Bible compares us to clay jars holding this amazing treasure, being clay jars into which the Spirit can pour itself into. The soul is the holy within. For Sue Monk Kidd, the waiting period is a cocoon period. We're in these cocoons together, and it is dark. But God is with us. It is this willingness to trust in Jesus' love and grace as the ways that we get through the tunnel, and in the ways in which God will do the God verbs to restore, support, strengthen, and establish. The verbs give us a place to begin, to nourish our souls and engage in this important heart of the work of the heart is to take our own spiritual temperatures. How are you today? Start there, simply asking yourself, how are you? What's up? Is what you're doing soul work or a soul breaker? Soul work is what helps us nourish our relationship with God and each other. When I'm fully engaged with my soul, I am loving my neighbor as I love myself and living that way, which means doing the things that show we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It is walking the walk, not just talking the talk. When we're not fully engaged with our souls, we are really interested in our own happiness. What matters when I'm just engaged with myself is my own comfort, what I want to do. That's not soul work. That's a soul breaker. Then we need the courage to label it as such and to stop making the choices that don't keep others in mind. Our reading this morning reminds us in verse 9, know that your siblings in the world are in this with you. Know that your siblings in the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering, says verse 9. We can't say we're all in this together if we don't act like it. The entirety of creation matters. And so it's not just acting like it with our siblings, but with the planet too. We have to take care of our creation, of God's creation. It's not our creation. What soul work verb is God laying on your heart today? I invite you to read this passage again this week and to pick out which verb speaks most to you. Maybe you put that next to your star word that we got for Epiphany. That's God inviting you to begin. Reread the four Jesus verbs: restore, support, strengthen, and establish. Which one are you most thirsty for? Then come to Jesus. Jesus, who is our living water. And drink deeply. Jesus is not just the light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus is this light that is with us through the whole thing, with us through all of it. Jesus's is a love that endures how long? Forever. And ever and ever. Amen.